Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. To the winners go the parades, and the Chiefs have had theirs on a Wednesday afternoon. It did not end well, however. As I sit and record this at 4.02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on a Wednesday, shots fired. Apparently, several people struck. No word yet on casualties, but mayhem at the end of the parade. With the Chiefs celebrating another championship. I've always thought, as we say hello and welcome and thank you for downloading, it is Valentine's, well, it's day after Valentine's Day, February 15, 2024. I have always thought, man, I love parades, I love celebrations. That's a great tradition in sports. I never want to go away, but man, all those people in one place makes me nervous. In today's day and age, with the kind of mayhem that seemingly is happening more and more all over the place, makes me nervous. But the usual suspects were their usual hammered selves, and that is also now a new staple and tradition in American sports, where your sporting heroes must get as obliterated as possible, and Travis Kelce obliged, Isaiah Pacheco obliged, several other Chiefs players obliged, and I'm not going to be the one to sit here and tut-tut them and say, you shouldn't drink so much because it's a bad example for the kids. I think the kids, they already know what time it is, so they're not learning much anymore from their athlete heroes. With a recap of Super Bowl 58, both from a gambling standpoint and a strategic standpoint. A pleasure to say hi once again to Mr. X. Mr. X, good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Great. Happy to be your Valentine today, Zay.
Yes, Shmoopy. We're getting this done before the evening festivities commence. So there's a lot of stuff that is now shaking out from this game, including some crucial mic'd up elements from NFL films. And I just sent you one that crossed just an hour ago that is pretty jaw-dropping. But I want to go through them one by one, and then we'll talk about the key overtime decisions made by both teams that ended up being the difference in the game. First and foremost, the winning play call was apparently something called Tom and Jerry, which is kind of funny. You know, they name these plays after certain things. But if you want to try to repeat the play call, here you go.
Hey, so got church right bunch, F, shuttle, Tom and Jerry right, yellow. Orange, 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 let's go!
13 seconds to go in the overtime.
Cut. We're good, we're good!
A touchdown wins the game.
Cut.
Right side touchdown! Kansas City!
And that's the Mitch Holtis call right there. You know, Mr. X, it dawned on me listening to the first part of this.
Hey. Hey, so I got church right bunch, F, shuttle.
You better be fluent in Mahomes-y's if you're going to play for him, right? Because of his froggy. All right, everyone, let's go now.
Hey, so I got church right bunch, F, shuttle, Tom and Jerry right, yellow.
Well, what did you say there? That play looked too easy, didn't it?
Well, and it looked too familiar.
Yes, it did. Which is maybe another reason why Steve Wilks was fired today during the parade by the Niners. You know they waited until right now to try to bury it in the news cycle. And I know people are going to ask me, so I've got to play it. It's obligatory. The poor guy, Steve Wilks, happens to be black, and so I go to the Curb Your Enthusiasm soundbite with Larry David about this whole...
Well, because I fired him, that's why.
Sorry. You fired him? You fired him?
Why'd you fire Steve Wilks?
Why'd you fire the black man?
I fired the black man.
So you couldn't stop Mahomes?
Because...
Even though nobody stops Mahomes?
Whole system here, and it doesn't work. And he's here like... Every week, I'm
honestly
giving him checks.
Wanda,
we've got five
true.
Remotes. I can't
we've
turn
had
it on.
So many problems.
But I know, you know, black men, it can never do anything wrong.
Really,
I need to
Wanda,
get fired from a job.
Problems,
black people always do everything right.
You got to turn the damn satellite on for the TV to work. See the little green light? Just got to turn it on. Or you can fire the black man, whatever works for you.
Yeah. You got to pay attention to the play that the Eagles fell victim to last year and maybe be ready for it. You got to, as head coach Kyle Shanahan, be willing to use a timeout, which, because of the clock not mattering, are basically worthless timeouts. So use them all you want to catch your breath on defense. They badly needed it. Or just to reset to go, okay, it's first and goal at the 4. Let's get a bead on what they may do. They let the clock run, which to me was insane. So there's a lot of blame to go around. By the way, Nick Bosa said the Niners were not prepared for the read option play the Chiefs used on 4th and 1 in overtime on the game-winning drive. Kyle Shanahan also, according to reports, called a timeout earlier in OT because he didn't like a cover zero call that came in from Wilks.
Well, there's a lot. But so Bosa said they weren't ready for the read option, the one that he completely bit on and left a huge gap. I mean, how much is a they and how much is a me? I don't know that answer for sure.
That's a good question. Now, we don't know his responsibility on a play like that. He might have been playing what he was coached and told, well, if it's this, you have to respect the keep. Or you have to respect the pitch, and so you play it this way. We don't know that, but that's a fair point, Mr. X.
Yeah, I mean, okay, players not plays, as they like to say in key moments. You're Bosa, it's 4th and 1. You know, maybe you have a defensive signal caller, but I know what I'm thinking right there. I mean, I'm watching that play going, you know, Mahomes is keeping it. Mahomes is keeping it. Oh, we weren't ready for it. Well, you know,
because yeah. it was shotgun on fourth and just inside a yard. And Nance correctly said, you know, they're not a big tush push type of team. They don't do that. They don't have that play. And so therefore, when they were in shotgun with the Super Bowl on the line, you had to believe, if it's me, I'm going to give my best guy an option to throw or pass.
He's going to roll out if it's there. Take the easy one. If not, take the pass. I mean, sure it was fourth down, but, you know, the play didn't lose the game, but it's weird to say that. I'll say this about the DC. You know, a lost thing on the Niners, and I followed them. I mean, I watched every football game this year, okay? That don't make me a genius, but it means I watched the games. I know what typically happens. Right. I don't know necessarily this cover against that, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a coach. But I know what typically happens. I know how to use the clock. I know what I've seen happen in however many hundred games there were this year. And when you watch replay of them at a slower pace, kind of like when you know the end of the movie, you kind of notice the scenes a little closer, you know, because you're not worried about the outcome.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, and you and I and anyone else who watches this league three fists full every Sunday, we're great at pattern recognition. We're great because that's all we do. And the coaches in the league don't pattern recognize as well as we do on the couch because they're not watching the whole league every Sunday. They're in the league. They're preparing game plans.
Well, I two things here. The DC and what you just said. On what you said, I still, you know, I can remember when replay first started, and no, I'm not going down that road, but when it first came in, and there were certain coaches that kind of thought of it as a fad, like, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I got X's and O's to work on here. And then over time, it was like, you know, this shit impacts the game. We got to pay attention. So the point is there's kind of a, I don't know, let's call it a hierarchy of Bill Belichick dissecting game film, not wanting to be bothered with little minutia. And then there's like, okay, wait. How many hours a week do you spend preparing? Why don't you hire a freaking nerd like me or Kevin Sheehan to help you with the little shit that matters in a game that no coach wants to sit and do? Now, I know they call it analytics, but I swear to God, these analytics are too busy running Xbox simulations as opposed to watching the league.
Right.
And that's not the same thing to say, well, 57% of the time this works. Yeah, okay, this is Lamar Jackson. Have you watched him? I mean, it's not all about data. That's part of it. And for example, the first one, wait a minute, let me back up. The DC, I watched them all year. In week 10, oh gosh, what's his name? I forget. The free safety got hurt. First 10 weeks of the season, Niners could play defense. After week 10, they kind of sucked. Okay, I can't put it all on losing your star safety, but it was quite a coincidence.
Jaquiski Tartt, are you talking about?
No. What's his name? Shoot.
All right, I'll find. I'm looking at their depth chart right now, but you're saying their safety.
They got hurt in week 10, 10th game. They were terrible since then. I funny name. I can't think of it all of a sudden.
Tayshawn Gibson?
No.
All right, George Odom, Jair Brown. Oh, Hufanga. Talona Hufanga, the guy who blocked the punt against the Packers, recovered the punt, didn't block it, recovered it. Okay, yeah.
I mean, when he went down, their secondary went down, and they struggled through the playoffs. The Packers, Detroit moved the ball at ease on them. But let me tell you something. As you said, victors write the rules.
No.
Three quarters.
Victors don't write the rules. The winners
write. Victors write the story.
Winners write the history books.
History books, fine. Through three quarters. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs had nothing. They had nothing on offense. They had a two-minute drive to end the first half, and that was it, until the ball hits the heel of a guy on the punt, and they get the ball on the 12, 15-yard line and get a touchdown. We go into the fourth quarter. They didn't have a drive other than outside the two-minute drill. Okay, now I couldn't have been freaking happier with that defensive coordinator entering the fourth quarter of that game. Now, we all know that it's all about, you know, Mahomes and money time. It's just like Brady in his day. But, you know, the game plan is the game plan. Now, the last three drives, couldn't slow them down, couldn't get them off the field, couldn't get one good play to end the game. And in the end of it, I mean, what you call it, clutch time, is kind of, you know, adjustments, they matter. But I tell you, the way their D has been for since week 10, I couldn't have been more impressed with the way they were three and out in the Chiefs all day long until, you know, one punt hits a guy in the heel. I mean, otherwise, we're in the fourth quarter and the Chiefs got 6 points. And we're talking about Mahomes is in the fourth quarter with 6 points. Are we talking about a defensive coordinator at that point? Or are we saying, what's up? You know, he shut him down.
That's very true. I've always said that much like the scientific term, nature abhors a vacuum. Sports radio abhors luck. We don't want to talk about luck. We don't want to acknowledge luck because luck obliterates all of our narratives. It obliterates all of our well-constructed arguments about you should have done this, you shouldn't have done that. A ball came flying out of the sky like a chunk of satellite and hit a poor guy on the ankle.
And sharp to try to get on it.
Well, he was semi-sharp. He should have fallen on it. He tried to scoop it and then keep running, and I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah. Bottom line is, okay, here's my pitch for why you need a geek on the payroll somewhere.
I think a lot of teams do.
Yeah, they don't have the right geeks.
you want to be that guy, huh?
No, I don't got time for that.
Actually, you do, but go ahead.
I do, but no.
That's one excuse you don't have. I don't have time for that. I don't know. Check your calendar. You're kind of free.
Well, I am watching every game anyhow. How about that? I'd rather just consult. I don't want to actually travel. Unless you get me the Madden bus.
Right. The value of having somebody, a kid, a low-level staffer that watches every game and the TV copy is to see what's going on around the league, and then he can file a report every week and say, all right, I've watched the condensed version of every game, and by the way, here's how many teams tried a version of the tush push, and this week, there were X number of penalties called for false starts and or offsides, which is up significantly from week one as a percentage, which means, hello, the league is starting to crack down on it. That's a sort of important data point that a coach would probably want to know if they were going to try that themselves, right?
Okay. And here's my take on
you're noticing game. Trends. You're observing the league. And there's a ton of little things, gold nuggets in noticing what is happening in the league. You bring that back to your own coaching staff that might go, huh, interesting.
Yeah. And the first thing to say is, that's probably never going to come up here, so why do we have that guy?
Well, you never know where you might find it. You might see a variation in a play you run that was done by another team that makes the light bulb go off. It all is predicated, though, on observing the rest of the league. And your point to the way coaches used to do it was to bury their head in their team, their game plan, their opponent that week, and march straight forward 16 weeks in a row to the end of the year.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Then we're on to Jacksonville. Then we're on to Pittsburgh.
Okay, let me ask you this. You've talked many times about this, about how coaches don't understand the value of a second half timeout.
Right.
Now, the purpose of a timeout, especially in the second half, I would say has one real reason, right?
Extend the game when you're trailing.
When you need the game extended.
You need more game. When you need more game,
take it home.
Right. Three timeouts can buy you an extra 2 minutes of game. Which is a lot of game.
Yep. So here's my point. In the playoff overtime format, you have a 180-degree reversal.
Exactly.
On the value of the timeout. It no longer has a damn thing to do with the game.
No.
It has this purpose.
They're useless except for useless. But they have very low value versus what they traditionally do.
I think they have great value. They're just
in what
a different
regard?
Value.
All right, what's the value then?
Value one, suddenly it's about the play clock. Don't hurry and snap the ball. If you're down to five, shut up and use your timeout. You don't need it for anything else. Why run a play you're not ready for?
Oh, right.
Why rush? That's value one. Value two,
right.
Formation, rest, etc. I'm sure you've seen this, but for example, on the Niners overtime drive, they're moving the ball at will. They suddenly have McCaffrey. Between the little swing pass for 24 and about four carries, all at big chunks, he touched the ball on 5 out of 6 plays. They got 2nd and 2. What do you do during the season in that scenario? McCaffrey's on the sideline, 5, 6 touches in a row. Mitchell comes in the game. Kittle was out for whatever he was doing.
He had to get his shoulder. He had to get his shoulder wrapped up.
Yeah. And you know what I'm doing on 2nd and 2? In an overtime, use your timeout. Let your best player in the world rest during the timeout, not during Mitchell's run. What else is the timeout for? You call. You say, hey, McCaffrey
killing it. That's a great point. In other words, all the trivial things you and I go crazy over that coaches use precious normal second half timeouts on, like to avoid a 5-yard penalty or to think about a 4th down decision, dumb as shit, they actually now become the things you should use them on, because stopping the clock and gaining more game time no longer has any value because the game is infinite as long as you have your possession alive. Yeah.
I screamed at that point when I saw Mitchell come in the game. I stood up and screamed, call your timeout. And everybody's looking at me like, why? The clock doesn't matter. And I'm like, McCaffrey matters.
Right. Let him rest. Get him in there, for God's sakes. Yeah.
Just tore them up. And by the way, the other thing that happened on that play, and I swear this is like an old basketball ref rule. Okay. For the most part all day, the refs, as they say, let them play. Short of false starts and stupid things, there was no flags. Fine. Some people say, great, the refs let them play. Some say, didn't call the game, whatever. But you know what happens in basketball when, the Shaq and somebody are battling it out all day under the boards? As soon as the sub comes in, he gets whistled for 2 quick ones. Because it's like, yeah, we haven't called anything. We're letting them play. But new guy, you get the foul, right? Immediately, the tight end that replaced Kittle, number 9, who I never heard of in my life, comes in and they call a hold. Kittle doesn't get called on that hold. It's like a, let's hit the new guy. So on the play with Kittle and McCaffrey on the bench, 2nd and 2, about to punch it in, why run the play? I'm getting Kittle wrapped. And by the way, if McCaffrey, I'm saying, how long do you need?
Right. And then Braden Willis is number 9, and I mentioned Jaquiski Tart, and he has not played in the league for 2 years. He last played in 2022, I believe. But he was the guy that dropped the belly ball interception on Stafford in the championship game in L.A. Prior to the Rams going to the Super Bowl, and that would have sealed the game for the Niners. So the Niners have had a lot of heartbreak. I watched the mic'd up audio on the crucial 3rd and 4 that forced the Niners, didn't force them, but it made them decide to go for the field goal instead of trying to go for it. And they knew the importance of the down. They were saying, watch protection, watch the pressure, no sacks here, we can't take a sack. But, you know, Spagnuolo drew up a great blitz, got a free runner in McDuffie. McDuffie's a sensational corner. Did a great job on that blitz there to get a piece of the ball. But on that play, Kyle.
Oh, the one in regulation.
Yeah, the one in regulation, not overtime. The regulation one, the 3rd and 4, the one that McDuffie batted the ball down on a blitz. You see the audio of Kyle, and he's like, Christian, you got him. Give it to him right there. So Kyle wanted Purdy to check down to McCaffrey, who shook his man with such a sick in-out choice route move that the defender actually laughed and said, you could hear him, he said, man, that was a good move, bro, to McCaffrey. Yeah. So that brings us to overtime. You ready to digest this or anything
left? Let me ask you one more thing on this. So the point is, take the example of when you go to overtime. If I'm the geek on the sideline during that timeout, I'm coming up to Shanahan and I'm saying, remember, you can use your timeouts now whenever you need them, as opposed to normally. And you think, oh, gee, why hire me to remind him of various things like that? That's a waste. You got a guy who usually stands behind him to make sure they don't step on the field. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's not valuable either.
The get back guy, as the he's called. Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so,
that's right.
Like, they don't have little jobs, for crying out loud.
You know, I
don't know. That one bothered me because it just completely, the game changes. Yeah. And got to know that, you know, your instinct all year is he's been very good at that. He's not a second half timeout waster, and he knows how to play 2-for-1 and shot clock better than anybody in the league, but he didn't know how to play overtime. Yeah. That sucked.
So anyway, the whole thing about overtime, and now everyone's like, duh, of course you should have kicked the ball, is such bullshit because half of us had forgotten or didn't even know the new overtime rules. It was the first time they were used, and we have not had any real-life experience sort of wargaming this new double-touchy-touch overtime format. So we're flying completely blind on experience, even though we get the logic of it, which we're going to go through, but it's now being treated as like, well, of course you should have. The bigger question is, which team was more prepared? Which team knew? Kyle said they knew and talked about it. Several Niner players said, yeah, not so much. The Chiefs, though, knew, and it's now clear in the audio from NFL Films, I'm going to let you listen to it, and I'll tell you who's saying what here, but they were already going through all of this prior to the coin flip in overtime.
Yeah. Which way you want to kick it? They call it. They call it, right?
Well, they got a coin flip.
Yeah, they call the coin flip.
See, Mahomes even knew. Reed was like, well, they're going to flip a coin. Mahomes knew that they actually got to call the flip, which is an extra level of, you know, super brain on a great player, right? That he knew they were going to call it. Not that it really matters, right? It's a random thing, but yeah.
It's their coin flip, right? Which way do you want to kick it?
We want the ball, Fred.
That's Shanahan right there saying to Fred Warner, we want the ball. So Mahomes is already like, look, which way do we want to kick it? They knew.
Well, because he knew if they had a choice, they were deferring. But yes, if Sam Fran picked, then the only thing that matters is which way do we want to kick it. Sure.
Right. So they already knew. It was already baked in the cake. Okay, so Kyle's like, we want it.
San Francisco, you are still the visitors. What did you call?
Tails again.
He called tails again.
Bill Vinovich.
It is tails.
We'll receive.
You want the ball? Which way do you want to kick?
We're going to kick that way.
San Francisco will receive first and overtime. Good luck, gentlemen.
They want it. They want the ball. They wanted it. Hey, they wanted it.
Mahomes.
They wanted it, baby. We want them to have the ball.
Kelsey.
They want it. They can have it.
Now, here's Juszczyk for the Niners. Listen up to this.
Even if we score a touchdown, they still get the ball.
I didn't know that.
I don't care. And here's why.
Why?
You know, okay.
Hold on.
No, go ahead.
Shouldn't Juszczyk have known that?
You know what? When I send my captain, I'm a Belichick believer. Everyone has a job to do. You don't need to know the other guy's job. You need to know your own job. Now, when I send you out onto the field and say, if we win, we're deferring, I don't want you to go, gee, coach, I was thinking about it. Why is that? Shut up and do your job. I mean, they don't have to go over it. The coaching staff that makes the decision needs to know.
Fair enough.
Hey, even if we score a touchdown, they still get the ball. I didn't know that.
If we won the toss, we were going to kick off, too. We got what we wanted.
Jay, you said something about Patrick Mahomes running off the field.
Here is the panel on Inside the NFL.
He was shocked. I was shocked. I think Jay Cutler was shocked. It's like, you're going to give Patrick Mahomes ball second and give him four downs? Someone's getting fired.
That's the thing you say. Somebody's getting fired.
Well, Steve Wilks got fired today.
But I know Shanahan's getting all the blame on this, but there's a lot of people in those headsets, a lot of people in those boxes that should have said something.
Absolutely.
But, I don't know, I've sounded like a broken record, but this is exactly what the Chiefs wanted. You know, they wanted to be in this game. They wanted Patrick Mahomes at the end, and they got their storybook ending.
Oh, I get four downs?
Yeah, it's like, perfect.
Oh, I do a lot with three downs. Yeah. Give me four. Let's see what happens.
All right, so that's all fine and well. However, if they stop him on 4th-and-1, we're not having this discussion.
Well, I guess I feel like the right decision is always the right decision, regardless of the outcome. The toss doesn't win the game, or the choice doesn't win the game, but it certainly tilts the scale.
Well, apparently the numbers people odds did out at 51-49 edge, a slight
horse hockey. I'll never believe that. I have argued that all week with X2 because once he heard Shanahan's explanation, he bought it, and I do not. Do you remember
Shanahan said he wanted the third possession because that assuming a matchy-match of either punt-punt, field goal, or touchdown.
Now we're in control.
The third possession is now fatal. But they didn't account for the Chiefs saying they were going to go for two anyway they scored a matching touchdown. Now, that could have been a poker player's bluff. We don't know.
They probably would have the way they had been moving the ball. But it comes down to this. Okay, great. I see the point, and I had this always. I see the value in going third. If you're going to tie, isn't it great? You know, go back to the Mahomes-Allen game. I think whoever went third in that might have won because nobody was going to stop anybody. I get that. That's not what we're looking at. I will say nothing matters except this. I want four downs, not three downs. Period. That's a hell of a difference to go 10 yards and four downs. If the Eagles ever got in this scenario, we'd see 12 straight tush pushes. Because
they would tush push their way right down the field.
They'd get 10 every four. They'd get 10 every four.
Somebody's leg would break.
Well, they do it until the point is, do the math. Four downs to get 10 yards is easier than your offense has been all year. And when you know what you need, there's a reason every NCAA team defers and goes second because they each get a turn.
Sure.
The guy going first goes after three. Do I kick a field goal or do I go for it? The guy going second knows what the hell he needs.
Yes. It's also the reason why they don't have the dealer in blackjack in Vegas play their hand first. if only the game was that way, shit, we could all make some money. Oh, you have 19. Well, I have 17. I better hit.
It's exactly right. Same thing. I want four downs to go 10 yards. I want that. I don't want three in a decision. Yeah. And, you know, that's the way it works. So that to me just trumps all the other data. And there's no way that you can tell me four downs gives you 51% and three downs gives you 49%. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. There's some other tweets that have come out that are, they sound good. They're not entirely true. One is, every time Brock Purdy walked off the field last night, the Niners had the lead. That's how hard it is to beat Patrick Mahomes. You better make sure he's dead. Well, the game was tied early, and it was also tied in overtime. So that's technically not true, but for the most part, it is kind of true in that they led the whole game except for the end. Then there's the one about the Chiefs' O-line in that they had no offensive holding calls in three Super Bowls. Yeah. I have not researched that. Somebody in the comments to that tweet mentioned a name saying, no, this person did get a hold in one of their three Super Bowls, so I'd have to check that. There was only one offensive line holding call in the game. That was on Trent Williams, and the overall penalties were actually in favor of the Niners, if you want to count that. They do let them play, though, for sure, yeah. And so you better adjust your style accordingly on that.
It had to be at least two because that tight end got one. Oh, you're saying only the O-line. The tight end got that key hold when he was replacing Kittle.
Okay. All right. So yeah, then that would have been least, two there. I mean, there were some really egregious ones.
O-line,
yeah. So there were some egregious ones. Also, pretty amazing, too, that the Chiefs were able to pull that off with their guard, Nick Allegretti, who blew out his UCL. Unbelievable. Guy blew out his ulnar collateral ligament. Tommy John surgery for an offensive lineman. He finished the game.
Ouch. Well, yeah, and how about the linebacker for San Fran coming off the field from the sideline?
Trey Greenwell.
That was brutal. Yeah. Kelsey didn't have anything until he went out, so that mattered.
Another number for you is 54.
54,
the number of total seconds Taylor Swift appeared on air during the telecast. Out of a nearly four-hour telecast, 54 seconds. She was not at the parade because she has a concert in Australia now. It's a 19-hour flight with a 17-hour time difference. And according to Andrew Siciliano, who I guess is a aviation nerd, he said because of that, they would have to refuel mid-air in order to make it, and she's not flying over on a F-16. So, sorry.
I think I'm the only one that has the Taylor Swift opinion that I have.
Which is?
I could care less how many seconds she's on. As long as I'm not missing a play, why do I care? How many times do we see a young quarterback's parents? And
I mean,
if they show her or don't show her. It means nothing to me.
A lot of people have that same opinion.
Okay. All right.
And I didn't mind any of the extra fluff afterwards, including this piece of audio, which will no doubt send every Swiftie into orbit in lovebird delight of her hugging Travis after the game. Take a listen.
Thank you for coming, baby.
I cannot believe that.
Thank you.
I can't believe you.
Thank you for the support.
How do you
Thank
do
you
that?
For coming. Thank you for making it across halfway across the world. You're the best, baby.
Oh, my God.
The absolute best. Was it electric?
It was unbelievable.
So there you go. That's hardcore. That is hardcore porn for Swifties. They'll be listening to that on loop for a long time.
Well, I made the comment on, I think it was after that. It's like they made a big deal about that. And to me, it's like every player on that field has family or significance that are supporting them. Get over it.
Right. I kind of wish they showed McCaffrey's fiance, Olivia Culpo. Do you know who she is?
Do not.
You might want to Google her if you get a chance.
Okay. Well, the only problem is you know, I don't care about who they show. I mean, you get a little tired of it. Unless it's like, wasn't Musburger that was Googling over the quarterback's girlfriend at Bama? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Catherine Webb.
Yeah. Other than that, it doesn't really matter. He kind of blew that one.
Now, the one bit of audio that was not played in its entirety, I've not seen how they kind of like ducked it out, but it was of Kelsey bumping into Reed and screaming at him, saying, don't take me out of the game. So why are they not playing that? Was it too vulgar? Do they feel like it would cast them in a bad light? I mean, look, this is why we mic the players up for moments just like this. What did he call Andy Reid?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, if the Niners don't get that game-tying field goal or somebody makes an extra point and it doesn't whatever, I think the biggest story in that game is that play, and the Chiefs can't do anything right, and what's going on here, and then you win, and it's like, oh, they're all just competitors. Come on.
Yeah, I just want to win. You know, Reed played it down, Kelsey played it down, but then you have to ask the question, so can anyone do that? No,
not according to A.J. Brown.
Yeah, right, A.J. Brown said definitely not, but yeah.
He said I'd be out of the league if I did that.
And that's a bit of an exaggeration, but I mean, Kelsey got a huge pass. There's no question about it. He got a huge pass, and the winners write the history books, and all these little things that would have been brought up get swept under the rug when you win.
I got one more tidbit for you. I don't know if this has been talked about. I'm sure it has. I just haven't been listening. But when I watch, I don't know, hours after the game, watching SportsCenter and everything else, and the play, the last play the Niners ran right after that hole, when they are 3rd and 3 on the 8-yard line, and they're coming off of a timeout, they come out here, and if you watch that play over, They did the little play fake to McCaffrey, and then, oh, he didn't have enough time to hit Jennings, who had just broken open, and they kicked the field goal. That essentially is the game, because they needed the touchdown. Well, if you watch that play over, the right guard pulls with McCaffrey, going right to left.
Yeah.
While the right tackle comes out on a linebacker, and they open the largest hole you will ever see for an obscure guy named Jones to just have the biggest open path to a quarterback I've ever seen. Right. It looked like one of those August ones where in training camp, if the quarterback's being a jerk, the O-line's like, I'm going to let you through on this one. They couldn't have let him through. I mean, he didn't just have a clear path. It was like, you watch it over and it's like guard pulls, tackle goes out. Hey, you know, the Jones guy's kind of good. Maybe we want to slow him down, but if you watch that play over, and we all know on that play, blitz is coming. Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? They like to hide it. But when you watch it over, there was like every single Chief was on the Niners' right-hand side of the field. Everyone. Because usually people like to freeze screens and say, look, this guy's – and they don't know who's rotating. The left side of the field had Debo and Ayuk. Two defenders, no one else on that whole half of the field. Right. And when you watch the play, you know it's quick. Immediately off the snap, Ayuk's guy falls down. And he's running in the end zone, waving his arms. Yeah. And I was like, not given Chris Jones the biggest path to the QB ever. Ayuk's running through the end zone, waving his arms. His man was on the ground. Right. It was a brutal thing to watch.
Well, the Niners' Jonathan Feliciano apologized to teammate Spencer Burford because he tweeted about a simple chip block would have gotten it done on that play. Burford, the next morning, tweets, sheesh, I open up my app to this. Get well soon, bro. Feliciano said, I'm sorry, bro. I woke up hungover and being a bitch. In trying to have one's back, I hurt you. It's effed up, and I apologize. You got nothing but greatness ahead of you. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, so, that was a miss. It wasn't a missed block. It was, you know what happened? I was thinking that when you did the Mahomes audio, it's like, if we heard Purdy, maybe he was mumbling like Mahomes and nobody could understand what he said because they just both went different directions and left the best player on the field a clear path. It's like biggest play of the day, best player on the field has no one within yards of him. And you're like, maybe that's why the DC got fired.
Yeah, well, once again, what did we say earlier? Nature abhors a vacuum, and sports radio and podcasts abhor the notion of luck. We abhor the notion of luck and randomness because how can we look smart? Like, hey, man, I know ball. We should have done this. You should have done that. Shit happens, man. That's why we love the game so much. That's why we love sports. Yep. It's chaos. So.
Well, here's my tidbit for you. Probably midnight the night before, X3, who's not a gambler, but thinks he is. He comes in to me and says, what do you think of this prop? And I mean, he is the classic new wave sucker. He comes in and he always asks me, and I tell him, and then he ignores me. You know, he hasn't learned a thing. He comes in on Saturday night and he says, hey, Dad, I found this prop. It's 44-1 or something like that. And he says, I'm going to take this. It says, a non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass. And I said, I don't care what the odds are. You lose your freaking money. Don't bother. Well, luckily, he ignored me. And he's
hit that prop bet of Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, he's an hour away, and I get the text in the game like, thank God I didn't listen to you. You know, that $25 just became 900 and something, something. And I'm like, and now he will never.
Oh, he's hooked. He's hooked on gambling for life after that.
Yeah. Oh, so. Man. And my X2, who's pretty good at this, the one he hit me with was 20-1 on McCaffrey to lead the game in receiving yards. And I said, that's a great value, but he's not going to do it. Well, he played that one. And he was, until the last two plays of the game, when Kelsey caught a ball, he had it. But then Kelsey passed him on the last catch. Yeah. So I didn't know shit, obviously. I got everything wrong. I couldn't have got anything right this playoff season. I mean, I was 0-4 on Chief games. That's the, the story. And I was 0-3 on Niner games.
How were, there you go. Bad matchup for you. So how did our prop bets do that we released here on the pod last week?
Oh, crap.
Do you remember? I did not write them down. I'm very sorry to say that.
I did, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, well,
I
just.
I think I went 3-2 what I did on the air. Somebody's going to call you up and say, no, it was 2-2 or 3-2. I don't.
But let's suffice to say, it was not remarkable enough to brag about and was not disastrous enough that I've already had 12 emails.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I know the first one I gave you that you did not like. I said McCaffrey over 18.5 carries, and he had 20 plus.
He
did.
That
was the winner.
He got there. Took overtime, but
you know. I took Debo to have a big play, which he did not, so I lost that one. But I think I went 3-2 overall, and I'll be honest, I don't have it in front of me.
Part of the reason Debo had such a tough night was that they put McDuffie on him. McDuffie is outstanding. MVS said, man, 22 is the best corner in the league, period, amen. And even, I believe, someone else said that as well, saying he's a really good player. And
he's awesome. But he also didn't look right. I mean, you know, a guy who built it's like him and
Tyreek. Well, no, he wasn't right.
If you're limping, if you're limping and you're lightning fast, that's not a good combo.
Yeah. So the funny thing is the total on the game was 47.5 at most books. And 25 plus 22, carry the ones. Why, my God, that's 47. Really, really close. And the spread was the Niners -2. And they were due to win by 3 if that 4th-and-1 holds. So that was very close. The prop bet of Purdy rushing yards was 13 over under. And it was over until he took a knee at the end of regulation push it under.
He had 12, and I had it at 12.5. Yep, that was a tough one. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that makes you scream, how are the books so good? And the answer is, they are good, but a lot of times they, too, just nail it right on the number.
Yep.
All right, anything else from the game? Here's a question for you from J.D. Dog. Zay, maybe you can ask Mr. X about this. I loved your Super Bowl reaction and recap shows this week. Dumb question, but what was the deal with all the extra referees on Sunday night in their black jackets? Was that new? Did I miss something? It's not new, and they are there as support. They're also fellow crew chiefs because they've got nothing else going on. There's only one guy that has to run the game, and the NFL's opinion is, We want as many cooks in the kitchen as possible without it becoming chaos. So they let three or four extra guys be on the sideline. Now, is this a smart thing or not? I'd have to talk to a referee to know. I would direct people to the website footballzebras.com, and they would probably have an article up about that right now. But they basically let the other crew chiefs come by and be helpers for the big game.
I would say this, and I don't know the answer, but I'm going to answer it this way. First of all, there is always a guy there with the ref and the coach. And
there's always an alternate.
So you don't see that he's an alternate ref because he covers up the stripe. Oh, yeah.
For every,
yeah, they're always there.
Okay, but they're not always crew chiefs because the league only has, I think, one or two extra crew chiefs who are not working a given Sunday. So it's a position ref that is the alternate. You're right, because one guy may get wiped out on a tackle on the sideline. You need an extra ref.
Yeah, well, what they end up doing, I feel like that guy's job all season is when they make the call, they do this, they do that. Instead of slowing down the game, he's the one sitting there explaining to the coach so the refs can move on with the game. And you see them talking to the coach, and the coach saying, well, wait, why did he do
that? How come that's applied after the play is over? Well, that's the rule. It's a dead ball foul. Oh, okay, exactly. Fine.
And those two will be having a discussion while the game's going on. The difference in the Super Bowl, in my opinion, because usually you don't notice that guy because he wears the black thing over his stripes. The difference in the Super Bowl is – this is the all-star cast. So it's crew chiefs doing this instead of a guy who's not good enough to make the starting 16 referee crews.
Right.
So you notice them more, and I think that's what everybody was noticing. Like, hey, look, I recognize that guy because, you know, we all know who the crew chiefs. You don't know what the line judge looks like.
Yeah.
We know what the crew chiefs look like.
Right. And then one more thing. This was from an emailer to me earlier in the week saying this podcast sucks, and I said – Okay, well, could you tell me what you would like me to talk about? His name is John Aperi. I got a lot of people emailing me saying, F that guy. And I said, thank you for your support. But I was persistent with John saying, okay, well, what do you want me to talk about? And he gave me a reply that was noncommittal. And I said, you didn't tell me one thing you would like me to talk about. His first line was, I'm guessing you're still discussing the Super Bowl, but that's old news already. We all watched it, so you can probably stop talking about that. See, this is why John Aperi does not run the content on the podcast. We just had a great 45 minutes on all the extra stuff now that is coming out in the wake of the game. So, no, there's always going to be more meat on the bone as the week progresses. But he did ask this. Okay. He said, I recently read some horror stories about sports books not paying winning tickets because they claim the listed odds were incorrect. Can you discuss how much power these books have over our money with no governing body overseeing them?
Sure, I can handle that one. But first, let me just say that if I need someone to tell me that everything we're doing is wrong and not give me anything that's right, there's a term for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is?
Spouse. I don't need another one of those.
I can get that at home for free.
Well, it's not free.
Oh, okay. I can get that at home anytime I want.
Okay, but back to the question.
Okay.
You know what? As long as you are gambling in the United States, this comes up so often. The books are regulated. The books don't have we hadn't thought of that one. How do we rule on it? Everything has a written rule. You know, when the game was canceled, when the game was shortened, when it was played on this day, they're not winging this along the way. There's a rule that you can look up in the fine print that covers freaking everything. Now, to think that they're just out there, like, making shit up. Now, you start doing the old days and playing, quote, on the islands. Now you got a little different game. Now you have some shady things.
Okay, well, hold on a second. There have been some cases of books that momentarily put out a wildly incorrect line. And they will rake that back and they will refund the bet saying, this was a technical error. But that's before the game even goes off that they...
Hopefully.
Well, okay, hopefully. Also, a number of books... Well, first of all, every book has some leeway on some decisions, but in favor of the gamblers, most books, as long as they're not terribly exposed, will pay out anyway in favor of the bettor because it's great publicity for them. It's like a free meal for them at a restaurant.
It has become a marketing thing.
It's become a marketing tool, right?
Yes,
right. And so, for example, on the prop bets about the length of Reba McEntire's anthem, she hit the number right about on it. Yet there is an argument over, well, when did the song end? When she hit "Brave"? The song, you know, the word "brave," or when her last breath came out, or I think she repeated "brave" twice.
She did.
Yeah. So they're like, "What do we pay out?" And I saw most sports books paid both the over and the under.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that I got to tell you too. But yeah, I expect her to say "Home of the Brave," and I got to go 4 more seconds
to hit the over.
It's a number. But okay, yeah. There's two things here. There is first part. Is and I'm guessing here the rule says something like in case of obvious error. Now the example is when you put up a line at plus 300 and you go, oh crap, it should have been plus 600. Nobody cares. But when they put 3,000 instead of 30 because some intern had the wrong number of zeros, they're not going to honor that. I've been down that road over the years. Sure. So they're not sitting there trying to go, oh, the line was 6 and we meant 8. No, when they put like a couple extra zeros on a play, that's what they put in the category of, quote, obvious error. Because nobody can say, oh, well, I thought that's what – I mean, you know, you got to have that in there for obvious typos.
Right.
That's not the same thing as what we're talking about most of the time. Everything else is covered specifically. That falls in the category of obvious errors. But on the prop, I have this argument with X2 a lot, and this ties into your Jimmy the Greek thing last week. I always say, you know, when you start talking about coin flips and national anthems and everything, and they pay out both sides. I always tell them, and you see a prop with like, oh my gosh, this one's a bad prop. I think we have a real advantage here. You actually can find an advantage. But they all have such low limits, they don't give a shit.
Right, like what is the typical limit on a lot of these exotic props?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
1,000?
Oh gosh, if that.
500?
Yeah, probably, maybe, yeah, probably.
Right.
And I always tell him in the old days, I said, well, he's like, well, a win's a win. Why, blah, blah, blah. And I always say, you know, there's a reason nobody is in a line at a Vegas casino with a big bag of money saying, give me Kelsey over 6. I mean, they just don't do that. Yeah. The props are so fluky that they're novelty bets, as they call them. And you can pay out both sides. I know you hear the stories of the, you know, guy what bets 200,000 on the coin toss. Okay, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it takes approval offline. That's nothing you stand. Nobody sits there betting, you know, your conglomerates with betting lots of money aren't putting them on.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have over 4.5 catch. I mean, that doesn't happen, or the national anthem or whatever. So, you know, like we were talking last week and I got an email when you're talking about Jimmy the Greek, and I luckily guessed the 5,000 because I said back in the day that was the limit. What they used to – I got an email saying explain that. Sorry if I digress a second here. What used to happen in the day was you bet 5,000 on a game, and then they give a minute or two for it to be uploaded and transferred to the higher authorities, and then the line either stays the same or moves, and you can bet it again. But you can't bet more than that without giving them the opportunity to change their line. So the skill used to be the big boys would have like 4 or 5 guys – trying to get to a window at the exact same time. So that way they make it all at the same time. And their job was to all place it at the same time before the house had a chance to adjust a number.
Right.
So, but they're not doing that betting on you know, how many yards Brock Purdy has before the kneel down. They're just not doing that.
As my guy, the Felt Father, Ken Smith, told me, those games are called carnival games. Like at a blackjack table where they have the extra, hey, if you get lucky diamonds or, you know, queen of hearts, it pays 5-1. He calls those the carnival games. So those are wildly in favor of the house. Oh, by the way,
attracting all the youngsters and, you know,
kids love them. Two other things real quick on prop bets. So the streaker who didn't take his pants off, therefore, I don't think he was a streaker.
That's called a drunk.
Right. There was apparently a prop bet of would an unauthorized person make it onto the field during the game. And there's a guy who claimed on TikTok that he was the guy and that he bet $20,000 on it. And it cost him $10,000 to get out of jail and legal costs, blah, blah, blah. So he's still up $10,000. I don't believe that's the real guy. But what would the book do if they found out that somebody who bet a huge amount on the prop or as much as he could and then committed the act anyway just to win the system? Would they try to deny that bet?
I don't see why. You got to always remember, everybody who thinks, oh, they graded it this way and it cost me, they're collecting the other side, too.
They're collecting the nose, right?
They're collecting all the nose. You're not the only – if it was offered, you're not the only player.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then the other one that was on the prop bets that was of note, let's see, there was that. Oh, the Gatorade. Apparently there's a rumor that the Chiefs knew about what Gatorade color they were using.
Oh, yes.
And the only color they were using, and therefore that was inside information that could have been wagered on if you took the prop bet of them winning.
Yeah, well, if perhaps the league was involved with gambling and allowed, and it was, and maybe advertised it all day long. Hey, Warren Sharp put out, it was a hard-to-find prop, but yeah, these things, this is what I'm saying about, like, hey, somebody knew. Yeah, but they had maxes, and they don't care who got it right, because plenty of guys got it wrong on Gatorade. You know, it's not like they could walk up to the window and bet $10,000 on Gatorade. Warren Sharp put out the number of jets in the flyover.
Oh.
Over 4.5. He said, rumor says it's going to be 6. Well, guess what? It was 6. No shit. Somebody knew. But you know what? You go, aha, I knew, and I won $100. Okay, good for you. The book didn't lose. Because there were morons going, wait, 4.5? Aren't there usually 4 in a flyover? I mean, you know, somebody knew something, but you know, it's the way it works.
All right. Let's wrap on this. There is a college basketball game that is hilarious tonight. 0-26. Who is it?
I think they're only 0-22, isn't it? Detroit Mercy. I might have that wrong.
Here we go. I'll give it for you right here. Somebody tweeted, if you bet on this game, you should just call that hotline right now. Detroit Mercy, 0-26, is actually favored tonight at home against 6-20. IUPUI. Put this game puts the PU in IUPUI at Detroit Mercy. You've got to bet an 0-26 team minus 5.5. I'm going to mybookie.com tonight to get something on the game because why the hell not? You can always say and get the t-shirt, I bet a team as 0-26 and laid points and live to tell about it.
Zabe, if I tell you the truth on this, you're just not going to believe me, so I don't know if I should bother.
Come on, give me the truth. Okay. You already bet the game.
Well, we've already discussed that game in my house. At breakfast this morning.
And?
X3, who's the only one that lives at home. You know, 1 and 2 have moved out, and 4's in college. X3 says to me, hey, I don't know what IUPUI is. And he starts, starts to tell me, he says the line, and he tells me everything you said, and I said, wait, where's the game? And he said, Dad, they're 0-26. Why does this matter? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, there's two things here. Number one, do you think Vegas doesn't know they're 0-26? I mean, they know. Right. And then he said, so the thing to do is lay the 5.5, right?
Yeah.
And I said, no. The thing to do is go, this is probably not where my money goes. Just don't fall for the take Don't go against the 0-26.
No. Bet on it to be a legend. That's what I say.
Yep, there you go.
All right. But, as always, yep. Mr. X, pleasure. We'll get ready for baseball season soon here. Pitchers Sounds and catchers. Call me MrX.com, the website. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. See you.
All right. See you. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.